Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about War of the Gargantuas.
1966.
All right.
Man.
Okay. So, we've known about this movie. We've never seen
it. For a long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then so, a little while back, we watched Frankenstein Conquers the World because we knew it was a prequel to this film.
Ish.
And that movie cracked our top five at the number three spot.
Yes.
And so that movie kind of went from being a requirement to, you know,
we got
to
get this fast.
Just hyping this movie up even more.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nuts.
The original title, did you see the original title?
No.
It's great. It's, I don't know what it's called. The thing when the Japanese make a word. You sent me from the credits, Russ Tamblyn.
Yeah.
Credited as Rasu Tamborin.
Uh-huh.
I love when you read and you're like, oh, you find the English words that are done in Japanese kanji to get the sounds and they kind of get close to it. So this one was Frankenstein no Kaiju Sanda Tai Gaira. So it's Frankenstein's monsters Sanda versus Gaira, or against Gaira.
Okay.
But so Frankenstein, which then I had to go back, and yes, the other Frankenstein movie also has that same.
Yeah. Yeah, the monsters in this movie had names according to, like, the internet. But right. In the movie, they're just referred to as the green monster and the brown one.
You get named about halfway through.
Okay.
They says, we're calling the green one Gaira and the brown one Sanda. Because it's the color of sand.
Oh.
That's not what they say. But, yeah. Ishiro Honda. So we're like, I mean, as soon as the credits come on, the first note I wrote is, I'm so excited.
Ishiro Honda, like, his movies, they're top three, right? It's Rodan, Astro Monster, and Frankenstein, Conquers the World.
Yeah.
And then we watched Matango a little while back. And yeah. I don't know what it is about his movies that just, I don't even know if it's, because we like the 60s Godzillas, like that seems like our wheelhouse, but I don't know if it's just the 60s or if it's specifically him.
I don't know.
They just have this look and feel, and like in Frankenstein Conquers the World, we really, really praised the model work. And in this movie, there's like shots where I couldn't tell if they were comp shots or model shots.
So well put together. The comp shots, I mean,
mostly when the green monster runs, every time he runs into the ocean, like it was these wide shots, but the ocean looked real.
And huge, and then these huge sets of like forest and hillside for him to just be able to just walk through.
Yeah. And I don't understand, like, there's some Godzilla movies in the 60s that don't have this level of detail. And I don't understand why Frankenstein Conquers the World and War of the Gargantuas is different. It seems like they're special effects budgets are bigger.
I wonder if I don't know, because they saved money on outfits. They didn't need to do big heads. I mean,
these ones are more elaborate.
Also, might be that because these are their heads are where their heads are.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like a monster with a neck that. You know, and their head is down, you know, above the shoulders, but the neck's long. This is their, like, it's their real eyes.
Uh-huh.
It's their mouths.
The
and that gives them this great agility.
Yeah, and I never realized until seeing this movie, because I'd seen pictures and statues and stuff, that their faces are constructed differently. Frankenstein's face looks more human, and then the green monster's face, it's like, reminds me of the gremlin from Twilight Zone.
Oh, that's interesting,
like
yeah.
It's kind of like a big nose and like a weird sort of like messed up mouth. Like almost a cross between that gremlin and then the doctor from Eye of the Beholder of Twilight Zone.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely that 60s like goblin-y monster look.
Yeah.
We get the green monster pretty much right away with this octopus.
First of all, the octopus attack is so good. The tentacle puppetry,
yeah,
is fantastic.
Yeah, it was probably some of the best tentacles I've seen.
Amazing.
And then they slimed them up real good.
And there's the composite where, like, you see the octopus through the window,
uh-huh,
and the tentacles in the foreground. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I just remembered. There's giant hands in this movie too.
Yes.
Which they don't really, you don't see them a lot in Godzilla movies either.
No, you don't.
It's like a King Kong thing.
Real people and giant hands. It's a very King Kong thing.
Yeah.
Well, this is also, but these are the most King Kong-y kind of guys.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of hairy kaiju.
No.
There's King Caesar.
And then, yeah.
And then this.
Yeah.
And then King Kong. Which baffles me. I still don't know why there's not more hairy monsters.
Yeah, so the fight, so Gaia, the green one, shows up, fights the octopus, and basically saves the ship from the octopus, and then goes after the ship, and he's worse for the ship.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, okay, Frankenstein saved this boat from being attacked by octopus, but I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. He's not saving these people. And he
that's
just...
my boat!
Because at the time, I assumed this was Frankenstein, not knowing it wasn't, because...
Yeah. Right.
Because I just figured, oh, they just, he morphed into some sort of atomic thing.
Right.
And we find out later that it's not the same Frankenstein.
Right.
But it, the fight is great. That model ship, it's like,
it's huge.
It's like an awesome scale. It's like the party boat in the first one where it was like, the boat was like slightly bigger than Frankenstein. I love giant models. Like in the first one, when he picks up the tank, it's not, they didn't just pick up a toy tank. Like they had to build a tank at a different scale, to fit the movie. And that boat, when he starts rocking that boat, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the best. And he's vicious.
I was like, oh man, I just remembered something that we didn't talk about in the last one.
What's that?
When they go get that model jet.
Oh, we didn't talk about the jet fight. Yeah,
they get that model jet. To throw at the guy.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, why don't you just get a rock? Oh, man. Okay.
The giant hand, amazing.
There's one. Okay. I thought it was just going to be like, what is this, a captain of one on the ship? And they talk about he has a crew of five. And I was like, all right, we're going to go with that because that's what they say. But then they go back and we get to see them swimming away from him.
Uh-huh.
And there's the giant green hand that just goes down on top of all the swimmers.
And he picks them all up.
Yeah.
This Frankenstein, or the great monster, I should probably remember his name.
Gaia.
Eats people.
He eats them. Yeah. Also, they're like looking at like the clothes, where the clothes are torn of these, and they're like, those are tooth marks. And I was like, what?
What?
How can you tell?
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
So they put a call in to Dr. Stewart's clinic. The Frankenstein expert.
Yeah. It's the same lab as the Frankenstein Conquers the World. And I saw Dr. Stewart and I said, you, sir, are no Nick Adams.
No, you're not. But Nick Adams was not Dr. Stewart.
Yeah. And either was Akemi was not.
She's listed as a different name.
Yeah. But I am assuming it was just the same character. Because they called her Akemi in this movie and Dr. Togami in the first movie. So I'm assuming her name is Dr. Akemi Togami. Because her character was essentially the same. She's the one that raised Frankenstein and all that
stuff. But this is not the same Frankenstein.
It's not the same. And it's that little sort of like kind of like ape boy. He's like a little like fuzzy guy.
Yeah, you he's have like a little, of. a little Bigfoot kid.
Yeah, you have the you have that figure of that. We're trying to figure out what it came from.
Yeah, what is this? This like I thought it was like an Inuit.
Yeah.
No, in Frankenstein Conquers the World, she plays Dr. Sueko Togami.
Oh, okay. So she did have a first name. That doesn't make it's weird. It's weird that she's playing the same character.
This is how I kind of rationalize it. If this is a true sequel, is they had that hand when there's that part where Frankenstein had escaped and they're like going, well, all right, well, we still got that hand we can play with. And I think it was just kind of like, this is like another round of trying to do that after Frankenstein got swallowed up into the earth.
Oh, okay.
The first time. This is the lab that's been studying the Frankenstein regenerative cells and stuff.
Okay.
For a while now.
So that when they made it, it made a little hairy boy.
And then they end up making a hairy boy.
The Frankenstein expert. Yeah, the Frankenstein we raised died, is what he said. And he calls it the Frankenstein.
So right. And it moves real fast from this phone call to reporter showing up and him immediately being like, all right, it's possible he's alive.
Yeah. So Frankenstein's gone from being a doctor to the monster being called that to it being a type of monster. It's the Frankenstein. baby. I wrote Baby Frankenstein is an ape. I said a bit revisionist. So yeah, they changed that. I just wrote my next note is model work, comp shots, giant hands.
The shot of the green Frankenstein under the water looking up.
Oh, yeah, that's going in the show art.
Yeah.
I love that.
And they're so like, creepy looking. Yeah. I was like, listen, our Frankenstein, he never harmed another human being. He can't live in the water. Oh, and then they go looking for him. And there's a great shot when they're like, they're climbing the mountain. Mm-hmm. They're going up Mount Fuji and they look and they cut to and you see it's basically like a set painting of footprints in the snow.
Uh-huh.
It's a really great little painting.
Yeah.
So Gaia attacks the airport. There's model. Great sets. The sets are so cool. The airport, the docks, there's so many great sets.
But it's weird that he doesn't destroy any of the planes and stuff. I was waiting for him to like.
No.
But he eats a lady.
And spits out the flowers she was carrying.
Oh, is that what it was?
He spits something out and then he cuts the flowers on the ground.
I thought he ate like half of her and then spit out the rest.
No,
it was the flowers. That's right, because they have a shot of the flowers.
Ew, flowers. And then the sun starts to come out and he runs away. That's where you kind of learn, oh, he's sensitive to light.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about the music number?
Wait. Hold on. Let me catch this up.
Okay.
There's a line in it where they're trying to explain this water Frankenstein. And what happens, and Russ Tamblyn explains it, well, he could have fallen in love with a whale, I guess.
That's gross.
And they're like, all right, maybe it's another one. And so they're talking to the reporters, and they're like, so you plan to continue to do your Frankenstein research? And he's like, yeah. And then the old guy kind of jumps around and goes, listen, what he means is that we're going to find a way to do it safely, but... I think right now our focus should be in the other direction. And he goes, he has like a little like nervous laugh at the end. And then because like and then they're looking out at Tokyo in the window and they're like, can you just imagine if Frankenstein appeared in the city? And I was like, oh, please, please, please. Now we're in Tokyo in the nightclub. Go ahead.
Well, that looking out of the Tokyo. Out the window, I went back and looked at Matango to see if it was that same model shot that opens the movie. It's a different skyline. Because it looked very familiar. Like, it looked like that, but it wasn't. So this singer shows up, and we're following this kind of dance number, this kind of musical interlude. And as the song goes on, I wrote, "This singer better get eaten." Because she made her trip over to that stage that was kind of out in the open. And then all of a sudden there was a shot where she was clearly in front of a blue screen. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, yes, make it happen. Go. And then it happens. And the green monster showed up and grabbed her. He didn't eat her.
Did not.
Tossed her. And she survived, I think.
Yeah.
But I was so happy because it was set up like the way it was, the shot was framed. It was one of those things like, he's right behind me, isn't he? It's like one of those. And it made me happy. Like, rarely does a movie just like completely like grant my wishes immediately. But it was funny because it was kind of a weird, there's a lot of stuff in like the 70s where they'll just cut to like people in a, you know, singing like Godzilla versus the Smog Monster and stuff. Or they're, you know, they'll have like just dance parties.
Right.
So it's like, it's kind of like par for the course, but I felt like, man, this movie seems classier than the need to do that. And I like that it kind of used that to, it was, I was waiting for it and I'm glad it paid off. I looked up that lady to see if she was in anything else, but nothing really stood out.
Looks like she did a lot of TV work.
Yeah.
In America. She died young.
Oh, yeah.
She had breast cancer.
That sucks.
Yeah, she was 46. Oof.
So there's some shots of the army that I was
army moves.
And I was like, oh, they reused the music. This is music from another, from a Godzilla movie, I believe. And then you spotted something.
I thought there were certain movements that I was like, that's like when we watched Godzilla versus Megalon, there's certain shots I was like, oh, that's weird that he runs in front of a moving Jeep right there. Mm-hmm. That's how they go and they get ready. And they all lay. And I was like, wait a minute. Because then they did the similar movements in this movie. So then I just started going back and forth between Megalon and this movie, and I found a lot of the exact same reused shots. I mean, we saw the reused version first.
Yeah.
And they kind of like redid the color or something to make it look lighter, or either that or things were shot, they originally were shot in the day and they made them look darker for this movie. But yeah, and so I started putting them, lighting up with each other so I could show you.
Yeah. And it's that whole sequence.
There's a lot.
Yeah. The army comes and because they find out that the Green Frankenstein is sensitive towards sunlight, and so they bring out these sort of tanks with these high-powered spotlights on
them, yeah,
which makes for a really, really quiet battle. Which is weird. It's so weird. They just shine lights on them and that's it. Like, you're so used to hearing like cannons and helicopters and missiles and masers, and it's just like silence. They just these lights,
but they do shoot them. I mean, there's those tanks. They had those fake tanks that had like little heads that were there,
And they kept
shooting at them,
throwing them into the buildings.
And then it seemed like, and then the suit got on fire, And I was like, oh no! And so they gave him great like. Damage on his suit.
Yeah,
he picks up tanks and throws them into the buildings. They. I was like training. Like, what the heck is Operation X?
Yeah, they, and it was long. It was like this long, elaborate plan where you see guys setting up equipment and these machines and bringing in these big sort of tube shaped objects and putting them into the river. And there were guys like climbing up power lines and stuff.
And then there's a part where they're saying, hey, use the copters to slow them down. So they start like flying helicopters around him, and he kind of keeps reaching up to him, but he can't reach him.
Yeah. Well,
and then suddenly he's like, I'm just going to wait and just jump. And he starts pulling the helicopters out of the sky.
And those, he grabs those big helicopter. They're, again, that, like, they're not just toy helicopter. They're like these big scale models.
Big, giant, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they start, they shoot him.
Uh-huh.
With the, some zappy electrocution thing. And they're just basically, they're shooting him and the trees as he's trying to run away. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of like plowing him and the trees down.
Yeah. One of the helicopters that's like kind of guiding him is like flying backwards.
And I was wondering,
can they do that? Yeah, can helicopters fly backwards? It's probably something at a stunt show or so, like an air show where a helicopter would do that, but I've never seen that in a movie before. I can't think of a, especially the way it was going. It wasn't like tilt back and going backwards. It's right. Just flying straight backwards.
They can fly backwards.
Okay. So this movie checks out.
Yeah.
Now there are two of them.
So then Brown Frankenstein comes to save the day. He saves Green Frankenstein.
Brown Frankenstein sounds funny. I don't know.
That's gross.
I know. I don't. Yeah.
It's alive. It's terrible. Everyone goes down the same hole with us.
I was trying to think. If we've seen this before, which is two of the same species fighting in a kaiju movie, and I can't think of any. I think
no.
The closest we've come to is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, where it was a Godzilla fighting what we thought was himself, but it turned out to be a Mechagodzilla with Godzilla skin over him.
Oh, right.
But seeing two Frankensteins fighting each other is kind of cool.
But it's like, well, first I was like, wait, I thought they were going to fight. Oh, and so then when there's two of them is when it's reported over the radio. We've named them code name. And that's where we find out the guy and stand up. And they're talking about like, there's definitely two. And we know that one's our guy and one is this other.
Yeah.
Sea creature Frankenstein, and the explanation some way. So Russ's theory is, look, he could have scraped himself on the rock and then the tissue ends up at sea and survived there on plankton.
Uh-huh. But that's what it's
a theory.
I like the thing I liked about the green one. He did kind of look more seaweed like.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was cool seeing the subtle design changes, even though they were both Frankensteins.
They could have done cool. Like something like even like a gills or something.
Yeah.
Cause like he's able to basically just be underwater.
Yeah. But when the brown Frankenstein shows up, which I'm just going to call Frankenstein. When Frankenstein shows up, I got very excited because we kind of knew already that the green one wasn't the original Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And we're not really sure if this is the same Frankenstein from the last movie, but I kind of want to just think it is because I like that other Frankenstein so much.
And, yeah.
He's the good guy in this movie. And right. I like that he takes the green Frankenstein away from harm. And then he kind of like scolds him. He's kind of like he's got a real problem with the green Frankenstein and how he acts.
Well, right. Well, right now he's just there to help him. He's got he's got his wounds, and and I was like, going, well, listen, we know they're going to fight.
Yeah.
We've seen the poster.
Uh-huh.
So it's called War of the Gargantuas.
Yeah. Which I don't think they say the word gargantua in the movie.
But, no, that's not.
Yeah.
That's how Americans called it. It's like War of Frankenstein might have been harder to name. Who knows? So cut to a bunch of young people hiking and the speech where they're talking about, like, listen, young people aren't afraid of anything. And he's right. Listen, you know, it's like there's many times when there's monsters around and the kids are having a dance party. That happens in these movies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're hiking, doing their hiking song. And then all of a sudden, they scream and
they run away.
You find out that Reed Frankenstein is there. Mm-hmm. And he, the thing is that Green Frankenstein ends up eating these hikers.
Yeah.
And Sonda goes and he's like, no, don't do this.
You're making us
come
look
on.
Bad.
You're better than this. No. There's a part. Okay. So, all right. So, she falls off the cliff.
Yeah.
When when Sanda's coming down to save her, and the rocks are tumbling down the cliff as well.
Okay.
And it hits him in the leg.
Yeah, and injures him. Or
it looked like that was like when I saw it happened, it looked like it was unintentional at first. Like I didn't think he was supposed to get hit in the leg.
Yeah.
And it almost looked like he got hit, the big rock landed on his leg, and the guy in the suit, he's an actor, and he was like going with it, being like, yeah. Oh, that rock.
Uh-huh.
And he slides down into the water. And I thought that was great as just kind of like, you know, being in the moment.
Yeah.
It's part of the story later, so maybe that's supposed to happen anyways.
Yeah.
But
it looked convincing as a
it sold me on it for sure. Like it looked like it was like but also kind of a reaction like it. I'd be like, oh shit, they hit me with a rock. Ow.
Yeah.
Did that work? Did you buy that?
Yeah. And I like that when he limped off, I was like, oh.
But then they talk about he broke his leg.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah.
When he was trying to say, he says, no, he broke his leg doing it. When I saw the Monsterpalooza panel that Haruo Nagajima was talking about, this was I think his favorite fight performance.
Oh, okay.
It was very much like, you know, it's about having a good partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like what made a good fight was having a good partner to fight with. And it seemed like this was this might have been his favorite, because him and the other guy is Sue Sakita, who did a bunch of other he did a lot of suit work as well for these movies, but they really were able to kind of like go all out with each other in this one.
Yeah, these furry suits seem to have more mobility.
Yeah,
like they just move way better than like a lot of the Godzilla creatures that are like, you know, these rubber suits. Kind of look like they're constricting a bit.
Yeah. There's a part when he saves Akemi and they have the big fake hand in the foreground.
Uh-huh.
And it's the green hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they only made one hand. That's great. Oh, that's for eating people. It's the part where Gaia. Yeah, and so that becomes this whole fight. During the whole fight, there's this great struggle that Sanda has, where it's almost like he keeps shaking his head, and I'm like, he's either shaking his head, being like, going like, no, I don't want to fight you, or he's shaking his head like, no, it can't be this way.
He definitely seems like he's disappointed.
Gaia runs through a building. Oh, when they're trying to figure out what they should do, they're like, we should kill them. There's a whole thing about, also, it's like, you know, they're afraid to destroy them because now they know that their little bits turn into Frankensteins.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, going, oh, imagine 1,000 of these guys. And I was like, now that's a sequel.
Yeah.
And they're like, what, we got to kill them. And he's like, oh, we should keep them alive so we can do experiments on them. And there's a part where Russ Tamman does this thing with his hands, and he like he kind of like folds them, and he like pushes his hands down, and then they added like Foley of like a knuckle cracky sound effect.
I didn't notice that.
There's other thing. Akemi's like kind of obsessed a little bit with Sanda, and she's like, "Do you think he'll recognize me?"
Yeah.
Or how she wants to say she thinks she can somehow like stop him or save him.
Yeah, I thought that necklace was going to come back into play from the first one.
Yeah, they're different people.
Yeah, but they're the same actors.
Doesn't exist. I know, it's very confusing. And there's a part where he says, "You silly nut, you'll kill yourself."
Yes.
Smashing the cars when Gaia's just walking.
Oh, when he's walking through the city?
Stepping on cars.
Oh, yeah. And he hits him, and I'm like, are these cars going to roll? Is actor going to fall? But no, just solid, just steps right on those cars.
It's great, because Gaia's great. Gaia also has, like, this kind of, like, his personality is a little wilder.
Yeah.
He had no human interaction, no socialization. He's just, like, a wild child that grew up as an animal, basically. There's a part where then, like, the guy who's, like, in charge of all the military, he pushes a button on this desk, and then immediately all the tanks start shooting.
That's how that works.
Yeah, there's a lot of just plowing into buildings for no reason.
Uh-huh. One of them gets shoved into the side of the building, and then gets shoved again into, like, the same spot.
Yeah.
So break it even more.
These are really well-crafted buildings.
Yeah.
Because they don't break like balsa wood or anything either. Uh-huh. It's like they look almost like as if they were, I mean, I don't know what material they made them out of.
Like tiny cement.
They break like concrete.
Yeah.
It's really well done. Like, I was wondering if, like, yeah, I don't know what, I don't, I gotta, yeah, I don't know exactly how they did it, but these are amazingly well-crafted models.
Yeah. I think better than any Godzilla movie we've seen.
Yeah.
And what is it about? What is it about the Frankenstein movies that get these sort of budgets?
I don't know.
The green one likes light now. There's that.
Yeah, he's part. Like, ah, he's okay.
Yeah, he can deal with light.
He's gotten used to it.
So I looked up Russ Tamblyn because I'm like, you're not Nick Adams. Why are you in this movie? But I became okay with him as the movie went on. But I looked him up because I'm like, anytime I see an American actor in one of these, I'm like, oh, I wonder if they did other stuff. And,
oh yeah, Russ Tamblyn?
I didn't know him.
West Side Story.
Which I saw when I was probably 4. Or 5. I've never really watched it. And then Twin Peaks. I guess he's on Twin Peaks, which I've seen like the first episode. But what I recognize Russ Tamblyn from is Cabin Boy. He plays Chalky, the half man, half shark.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it made me very excited. And then I started thinking about Mike Starr in Cabin Boy, and he is kind of a kaiju. If you remember, Mike Starr is just a giant business guy. He just like has like his suit and tie with his pocket protector.
Yeah.
But he's just a giant man, and he's like attacking the boat like in a tank with like tiny little model Chris Elliott's and stuff. But I kind of wish we can do an episode of maybe like kaiju that show up in non-kaiju movies.
Oh, like, yeah, we totally can. Like, it would be like kaiju cameos, spelled with a K.
Yeah.
And we'll just kind of like do little highlights reels. Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, Mulligan's one of my favorites. It's just Mike Starr in like a white shirt.
Yeah.
In a tie. But yeah, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know Russ Tamblyn. The name kind of sounded familiar, but I was mostly just bummed it wasn't Nick Adams. So I looked up to see when this movie came out, because I know Nick Adams also died young. He was still alive at this point. So,
Oh, by the way, Russ Tamblyn also is in my favorite scary movie of all time.
Oh, is that the one with the, wait, is it the one, wait.
The Haunting.
I don't know if I saw it. I see every year, your Halloween, you always post like drawings of your scary things.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to mind was, it was a girl in a bed with like spiders on her face, or
no,
what was that thing?
That was called Deadly. It's a Sharon Stone movie.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it's called. I only remember that from like seeing a trailer when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
That was enough. Yeah. No, but The Haunting. This is a black and white ghost, like haunted house movie. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, so then they fight. They take the fight to the ocean.
Yeah.
And they bomb them, and it's like, do the bombs do this? Or does this just happen out of nowhere? But suddenly a volcano surfaces in the ocean, and they basically get sucked into the volcano.
Yeah.
And that's how they maybe die.
Yeah, another volcano. In a way,
the idea of the surprise underwater volcano, it seems like that might solve the destroy their bits. So they can't make 1,000 Frankensteins, which... You know.
Yeah. I want more Frankenstein. I know there isn't another one of these, but it bums me out. I feel like... If they were to bring this back now, if Toho were to make another War of the Gargantuas, I wouldn't... It would have to be models and guys in suits. I wouldn't want CG or anything. Because I want more. But then it's not... I don't think it would capture what's great about these two movies. It's just a bummer they only made the two. Because I really enjoyed this movie. And I don't know if I enjoyed it more than Frankenstein. I think Frankenstein was such a surprise. And then after seeing Frankenstein Conquers the World, then this movie got built up even more. But I feel like it breaks the top five for me, but I don't know where.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because look at this list. It's just going to be a Shiro Honda list.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out myself.
It's so well done.
Yeah, it's... These movies are
like the
great.
The suit acting and the models... Like, make this movie.
Totally.
I think I like the story for Frankenstein Conquers the World more, but I don't know. I don't... What do you think? Would you put it in the top five? Does it feel weird that we keep... Does it feel weird that we keep doing this? Like, since introducing the top five, things keep popping in there?
I think I think that's the whole point of having this list. I think that's part of why I wanted to do it, to have these moments where things get challenged. It just kind of adds another thing. The way Frankenstein shot into the top five, Frankenstein Conquers the World, and number three, and we were solid about it being a number three.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely it had a greater impact.
Yeah.
I wonder if we hadn't seen it, what we would feel about this movie if we hadn't seen Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Uh-huh.
And there's a chance, I think, if we had no previous experience with Frankenstein Conquers the World, this one could have been in the top three.
Yeah.
We could have put it at three. Just because the same thing, there's a element that blows you away about it. And part of it might be just because it's brand new and it's a fully original concept.
We knew that we had some sense that War of the Gargantuas was something that we were going to enjoy.
Yes.
And Frankenstein felt like a requirement. And then we had I had no concept of the movie. Like, I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't even know Baragon was in it. So it's like, it like kind of blindsided us, I think.
It just came in and just
this
took
one
over.
We knew was going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then seeing Frankenstein Conquers the World amped us up even more.
Yeah, so that's why, listen, eventually at some point we're gonna have to revisit this top five and really pit these movies against each other with fresh eyes. Right now, looking at it,
So we have
I think it's good enough to break it, but
I
maybe
think so too.
just break it.
I think so too. And I'm looking at the two that the because I'm yeah. So it's Rodan, Monster Zero, Frankenstein Conquers the World, Godzilla versus Gigan, and then Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
No, those are switched. Number five is Godzilla versus Gigan. Number four is
Okay.
Mechagodzilla. Number three conquers the Frankenstein conquers the world. Number two, Monster Zero. Number one, Rodan.
Okay. I'll have to fix those.
I don't know why you read it starting with one, anyways, because that's part of the whole doing the thing of doing a list, just to count them down.
I mean, it feels weird putting it at four, but
You want to put it at four?
I said it feels weird
I was
putting it at
thinking maybe
four.
of five.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Putting it at
five.
five is a pretty solid spot for it.
That's four Ashir Hondas of five. That's
Who's
crazy.
left? I mean, yeah. What is about Rodan that nothing can unseat Rodan?
Because it's like, I think it's the story, the way it progresses.
And it was such an early movie for
Yeah.
us.
Yeah. I think it also, because when we started this, it's because we both are Godzilla fans. And it was the first one we watched that was not just a Godzilla movie. So it was different. And just the way it's set up, like more of a mystery. And even though we know who what Rodan is. But the way it's set up, we kind of looked at it as if we had no idea what Rodan was.
Yeah. So we're putting this movie at number five in our top five. War of the Gargantuas. It's good because you can almost turn Gigan into Gargantuas. I don't need to write a whole new list. Okay. That's our list. So the Kaiju Pod top five Kaiju movies now is at number five, War of the Gargantuas. Number four, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Number three, Frankenstein Conquers the World. Number two, Monster Zero, aka Invasion of Astro Monster. And number one, Rodan. So if you're new to joining or listening to our movie talks, that's a good base to for your movie education. These
And
are all
that
very fun, and they're most of them are in that era of greatness for the Toho Kingdom.
And that list is available on our main page at kaijupod.com, and it has links to the episodes. So you can look at the list and click those links and listen to those episodes. But yeah, I feel like if someone were to come up to us, the point of this list is if someone doesn't know really much about kaiju movies and they want to get into it, and they could say, "Hey, what do you recommend?" These are the ones we
Hands down.
recommend. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like War of the Gargantuas would be definitely one. I would say, hey, check this out. And I would say you
Yeah.
can see it without having to see Godzilla or Frankenstein Conquers the World. It helps to see Frankenstein Conquers the World, but I think it stands alone.
It
If you
does, but
can accept the fact that there was a Frankenstein expert, the flashback, you know.
Right.
Like, why is there a
Yeah,
Frankenstein
I don't
expert?
know. Yeah, it's
But
just,
there's the flashback that
it's
shows
so
how they
good.
raised him.
Yeah, it
But
doesn't match.
yeah.
It doesn't match yet. Yeah.
But it's good. It's yeah. It makes me excited to watch more Ashira Honda, for sure.
Yeah, I was like trying to figure it out because we were talking about like how come he got such a good budget in this one? Man. Sure, Hana did tons of it. Man. Oh, we still haven't, speaking of Hishara, we still haven't hit Destroy All Monsters.
No, that's a
Man.
big one. That's kind of one of those ones that
Huge.
I wanna kind of let sit for a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, man, if we did, if we did a top 10, it would be probably full of Ashura Hondas too.
Yeah. And then there's some we haven't seen, like, what, Space Amoeba? And
he also did a movie called The Human Vapor.
I know what that means. That's something Brown Frankenstein does.
And Be Happy, These Two Lovers.
Get crushed by a giant hand.
He did that. He did that after Rodan.
Oh, Rodan's so good. I downloaded the Filmstruck app because they have the Criterion versions of a bunch of Toho movies, and I'm hoping they release them for a purchase because I don't want to just have it stream from the app. I want to be able to watch them all the time. But they had Rodan. Yeah. They have Rodan on there, and ooh, it looks real good. The version we watched when we watched the movie for the show wasn't the best version.
Yeah.
Kind of had that red tint to it, but yeah. Oh, the colors were super vibrant. Oh,
really?
It looks so nice. Yeah. So if you get a chance, if you feel like watching Rodan again, I might have to find that good version of Rodan and then give it another watch and maybe update to see if it holds up. But like, I still remember a lot from that movie. And, yeah, I can't wait to dive into more Ashura Honda for sure. But next time, we are going to be getting back into the world of Gamera.
Yeah.
We will be watching the next in the series. It's going to be Gamera versus Jiger. And it's J-I-G-E-R. It's from 1970, the 70s Gamera film. So we're starting to jump pretty close. We're about halfway through. That's like the halfway mark
of the Gamera
of the Gamera movies. Yeah, one,
two, no kidding.
Yeah, there's 12 Gamera movies. This is number 6. So I'm excited about that. It's been a while since we touched on Gamera.
Yeah, but
I'm ready to get back into it. We're gonna get one step closer to those
crazy
90s
modern
ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, until then, you could go to kaijupod.com, look at the top 5 list, which is updated every time a new movie makes it on there. And then if you want to watch the next movie, we should have a link to where you can watch it right on our front page. It just says watch the next film, click on the image, and enjoy. So until next time, I'm going to go eat this singer.
I'm going to go up to this pigsty and was he going to eat those pigs?
I guess.
I'm assuming.
It seemed like he'd eat anything living.
I'm just going to pet them.
Okay.
Only say the pretty words that I feel in my heart. If my voice could make the sound, I would tell you how I love you and we'd never be apart. But with just one look into your face, my mind starts to drift right into space. And the words get stuck in my throat. If I had a hidden microphone inside of my heart, I would turn the power on. It would amplify my love for you and swear to always love you and you'd never be gone. But with just one look into your eyes, I become excited and it's no surprise that the world